Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia.
David Tucros.
Join us
on a metaphysical,
holistic,
and intuitive journey.
The call-in number is 646-595-3440.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com. I'm Iggy Garcia.
I'm David Tucros.
And I'm Adriana Arts.
And we're broadcasting live here in an undisclosed location in the universe.
Right.
We won't tell you.
A couple of undisclosed locations.
Yes, there. That's correct.
But that's how we roll.
That's right.
That's how you got to roll nowadays.
Yeah. So I want to say hi to all our listeners out there on the internet, in outer space, in the other universe who are picking up our signal. We want to welcome you to the show. If you have questions or anything you want to share with us on the topics we're going to cover, or if you need a reading, our call number is 646-595-3440. Again, that's 646-595-3440. Well, the chat room is also open. So I want to welcome my friends, David and Adriana.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, David.
Well, I'll tell you. Yes, thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Things are getting pretty weird. Pretty crazy out in the world in general, you know. Every time you get on TV, you look on the TV or you get on social media or something, you know, it just seems like it's something else that's happened. So, wow. It almost seems like a show. You know, it almost looks like it's kind of scripted somehow, but, you know, you can't tell. It's just...
I feel like that.
World is just rolling along, and it seems to be rolling towards... I was going to say confrontation, and in a way that's true, but it's more like revealing what's been under the surface for a while, you know? And, you know, the things we're talking about today are not anything new. They're just things that have been brought into the forefront by design or by not, you know, to our consciousness. And, you know, it's for the better, I think, but still there's a lot of things that have to be processed and have to be looked at and have to be... you don't have to be dealt with.
Absolutely.
So
and a lot of it broadcast through social media too. You know, I learned most of my stuff from social media just by, you know, 5 minutes of scrolling. You can figure out what's going on practically everywhere all over the world, and it's, you know, just instantaneous when things happen. So sometimes it's kind of overwhelming.
It is overwhelming, but it's a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, it's good that we have access to different points of view and different things, different sources of our information, but it's kind of a bad thing, too, because it seems like you just get blanketed with that stuff all the time, and there's a lot of talk that goes on without a lot of solutions or a lot of coming to terms with it. You know, it's just a lot of confrontation, a lot of, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, no, you're...
A lot of misinformation, too.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of giving misinformation or my predictions of misinformation. That's what I like to call it.
Right.
Seeing the world and think projections. But, you know, my misinformation that I put about Bernie Sanders actually did come true, but unfortunately. But the unfortunate reality, he's going to endorse Hillary Clinton, I guess, in New Hampshire, was my understanding.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, that's a whole other ball of wax there. Whether that's something that was planned for a while or something that's happened as it did, or, you know, you get to the point where you just don't know what to believe, you know, what's really going on out there. So I guess that's when you have to just kind of go into your own intuition, your own mind, and just try to sort it out and keep close to what you feel is, you know, your values, and just hold on tight, because this is the age of a lot of things coming, like I say, to the front and being dealt with. You can't put off, you know, the things that we've been putting off for so long and have it just go along merrily, you know, for the next 150 years or so. You know, we're having too many... There's just too many of us out there, too many people with cameras, and too many people with access to information and things like that. It's a different kind of world now than when I was a kid, you know, of course. You could be pretty isolated in your opinions. You could be pretty, just kind of turn the other way and not have to deal with it. But it's coming right home to our doorsteps now, and we have to face it.
So looking at your T-shirt, it looks like a skull.
Actually, it is. It's like a red, white, and blue skull. And yeah,
okay.
I got this at Myers of all places. You know, we think I'd get it at some edgy T-shirt shop.
Yeah,
there
that's
it was
pretty,
at Myers,
actually pretty
you
cool.
Know? Yeah, you know, and that kind of made me, it put me in, when I was thinking about this T-shirt, I thought about how the United States of America, it's kind of a warmonger. You know, we make weapons, we transport mm-hmm. them around the world, we ship them out, you know. We don't really work for peace, we work for control. You know, we want to control the parts of the world that we think are problems, you know, and I think that is part of the problem, too, is the fact that we're trying to impose Americanism on people who don't know it, you know.
All right.
And there's the only way we do it is basically through force, you know, and that's not right.
Well, since we know that, what would be a solution? What would be, like, something that we could – if we had the power to make changes in this world, I mean, what would the three of us do? If the three of us were supreme leader of the United States,
mm-hmm.
you know, what would we do?
I think I would cut away a lot of the barriers between people and government. You know, I'm not sure how much of government is really necessary. There's a portion that's necessary for sure, you know, but I think the common people, we pay in a lot of money every year through income taxes and other taxes and mm-hmm. other things. We pay in a lot of money and we don't see a lot of good of our own out of it. You know, it kind of goes into this big fund, you know, and it gets spent on, you know, whatever they want to spend it on, war or black budget things or, you know, some pork barrel industry thing that they all fight about up there on Capitol Hill. You know, I would like to take some of the barriers away from that and make people a little more responsible and a little more interactive with what's going on. You know, mm-hmm. how many people really want us to be at war? How many people want us to spend money on the things we're spending money on rather than new industries that, you know, that can bring about sustainable energies or, you know, not having to use so many natural resources instead of things that we could manufacture and make out of, say, mm-hmm. hemp or something like that. Those are just examples. But I think the key is to get back to government by our input. And the other side of that is we have to take an interest in it, which we haven't done in years, you know, as far as I can see. We've just kind of let things roll along or felt powerless or been in these little groups that are just – each little group's trying to tell their representatives, oh, I want this. No, I want that. You know, and we don't have a united voice. And we don't have a united voice. We can't blame them for doing what they do because we're not giving them any direction. So that would be one thing I'd do.
Cool. And Adriana, how about you?
I would take the power out of that, you know, the top ruling house there, and I'd give it back to the people is what I would do. The people would be making those decisions, and they would be deciding what their tax money was spent on. You know, I'm sure if it was left up to the people to decide, do we want war or not? Do we go over and invade this country or not? I'd say 90% of the population would probably choose not to do that. I think there's, as far as sharing knowledge and learning about the other cultures is important,
mm-hmm.
and sharing knowledge is important. But as far as everything's based on, you know, money and the value of the dollar, and I would that whole system just needs to be revamped. and a lot of the people that are in there running the current system need out of there, and new people voted in with a different outlook on things, and I would make that happen. I'd clean house. I'd be the woman. I would clean house, and I'd start with the big house.
Yeah.
You know, it's good that you mentioned that you clean house. I kind of agree with that. because I really think term limits are important. I think even congressional and senatorial, you know, politicians who are running for those offices, they should have term limits. You know, it's every couple of years, every 4 years, you know, and you run 5 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or six, whatever, five. But once you've done, you're done. Because, you know, we need fresh ideas, number one. We don't need the same idea floating in the House for 30 years
mm-hmm.
with some right. guy who's been there, who's
career,
like 90 years old.
Career politics.
Excuse me. You know, we have enough. We get enough of those guys. And then, you know, things kind of stay the same. It becomes like a clique, you know, a party, a little group of us versus
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm. And you get an attitude there like, you know, we know what we're doing. The rest of the country, you know, they just need to be told what to do.
Well, they're representatives. Their job is to represent, but they also make the final decision about representation. You know,
right.
the whole district can say, hey, we want this. And they can turn around and say, no, that's not to our best interest because of this forecast or blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not etched in stone that we have a voice. We're kind of listened to, but we're not. I've seen things like that. I've seen things like that happen. But there's also the other side, too, where things do change when there's enough people, you know, saying, hey, we don't need this, enough letter writing, enough campaigning, different ways to protest. But, you know, actually, I'm really glad the American people are stepping up and protesting and saying their voice out there and saying, hey, we've had enough. It's not enough of us saying that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, a small minority is affected mostly. And so those minorities, you know, they are going to clash with the system because they feel like there's injustice.
Right. They've got nothing to lose anymore. Yeah.
But not everybody feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not all Hispanics or blacks or minorities feel that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
There are also blacks and Hispanics that don't agree.
Right.
You know, with the big movement. You know, the big movement speaks not for everybody. It's a movement that's just speaking. See, that's where people have to be careful that they're being represented by groups that aren't really in their best interest. You know, like it's easy to bandwagon onto these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hispanics, you know, the Mexicans, you know, they're going to build a wall. They're going to deport all of us. You know, I'm Hispanic, but I don't feel like that. I don't feel like I'm going to be deported. If I get deported, well, so what? You know, they're going to take away my citizenship, throw me out. I just go back to Peru, right? I have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But not all Hispanic groups represent me. They're there to represent me.
Yeah.
There's the difference. If I choose to, you know, ask for the help. But it's very, we have to be very careful. It's kind of like an incident that I have, and I'll use this as an example, since this is a metaphysical show, where there's a debate between meat eaters, you know, and non-meat eaters. You've got vegetarians or, you know, vegans, and then you have the other group that eats. I've been countless times been told that if I eat meat, then I'm not truly awakened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, so how do you judge? How are you judging me? And how are you shaming me with those words? And not even think that you're even doing that. You know, it doesn't make me less. Yeah, it doesn't make me less awakened if I'm eating. I have a sacred contract with these animals, with these plants today. I have a whole sacred contract with this planet being born into this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So this shaming of things is something that we have to be more careful about, our own groups and our own people,
right,
and who we mingle. And that's kind of like the same with the, you know, Black Lives Matter, Hispanic Life Matters, White Lives Matter, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful that you're not being represented in a way that you don't want. And you should also speak up when you're not being represented properly.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
No.
But just make sure that you do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
What are you really being represented? How do you, you know, just put on a T-shirt and just say, hey, I'm one of these guys?
Mm-hmm.
You can be very, remember the .org movement?
Yeah.
MoveOn.org. Remember that group?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great idea. I thought they were doing good. But, you know, I wasn't going to align myself. And I especially didn't align myself the way they treated the homeless people when they kicked them out of the tent and wanted us to come play drums in there.
Mm-hmm.
That really pissed me off.
Yeah, that showed their heart.
Yeah, and they didn't last very long after that.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
I do. It happened right here in Columbus.
In Columbus, and I was like, no, we'll sit out here in the rain and drum.
Yeah.
With our homeless friends.
Right.
Or leave them in the tent, you know.
Yeah, it's true. You know, you can have a front foot on something that, and then but you have to see inside that, you know, and it does take investigation. It does take work, you know. That's the thing that I would really like to do with this country too, is to reform the education system and make people at least more better thinkers, you know, and not just teach to the test and, you know, make them be people who are just ready to get out into the system and perpetuate it.
Mm-hmm.
That the thing that that people who want to hold people down don't want is an educated public. They don't want people questioning values and systems and coming up with ideas that are outside of the norm and what they want to go forward with. So I think the most dangerous thing to that kind of a system is an educated person and somebody who can think freely for themselves. And so that would be something I would like to have in our educational system. There's just a lot of a lot of nonsense out there now. So,
Adriana, anything you want to add to?
And that just kind of goes along with what I meant when I said, as far as sharing our knowledge, you know, with not just here, but overseas. Look at the places where hunger and poverty, you know, are overseas, and
mm-hmm.
look at their land and look at their resources and what do they have that, you know, we feel the need to say, hey, go over there and take it from them. Usually by force, whatever it is. But they have resources of their own. They have seeds of plants of their own. You know, if we could work together with helping each other's land, it's coming down to working the land for food for everyone and sharing our knowledge of the land over there where people need the help because they don't know. They have been kept in the dark, you know. We need an exchange like that to literally help your overseas brother hand in hand. If you want to bring the world together, we're going to have to work with the world, and it's not going to be by force. It's going to be by trying to help each other, whether it's to stop poverty or illness, you know, sickness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of things that we need to share with the other people in the world. It isn't about who has the most knowledge and keep it all hoarded over here because that's going to make us greater. I take that away. That isn't what any healing or advancement in technology to me should be. It shouldn't be hoarded, you know, to make this country greater or that country greater. And all of our money, our taxes, you know, most of it's going to the military and warfare and building these, you know, frickin' planes that I'll never fly. But by God, I own a percentage of that bitch up there, don't I? Because
yeah,
I paid for it for 15 years or whatever. I mean,
seriously.
But
we're trying to make America great. Come on.
It needs to go, you know, it needs to go back into the hands of the actual people and not just the people here. It needs to be the people everywhere. If the world will ever unite, they can spout off a one world government all they want to. It's never going to happen by force, ever.
Not by force, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. I agree. Before is never.
You know, we saw a movie this weekend, Adriana and I. We went to see Independence Day Resurgence, and it was brought to you by the U.S. Army. You know,
yes, it was.
Yeah, there was a lot of militarization in there, you know, and you know, guns and boom booms and things like that. You know, and I see that in a lot of movies. I just watched The Expendables, you know. And it was like nonstop, you know, guns and knives and fighting. And we are fed on that so much that it's, you know, I think we think of peace as being boring or something that, you know, is just for weaklings or something. You know, we don't have an example of what a peaceful world would look like and how it would work without that just being the setup for some cataclysmic, you know, war breaking out or something, you know. That's not our model. Our model is this constant state of war and peril and fear, and you know we that's the excitement that we draw from these movies, and it's, you know, we need to create a different example of that, you know, and what would that really look like, and how would that work, and why can't we have it, you know? It's Mm-hmm. We're just fed on this constant diet of conflict and arming until we feel like we're bristling with weapons. We feel like we've got to just, you know, crush the next thing that opposes us, you know, even if it's that person in front of us driving, you know, trying to get in front of us at work, you know, on our way to work. We gotta win. You know, it's this whole mindset that we've got built up. And it's going to take a while to turn around. You know, I think what happened, too, is we've never had war on our soil. We've never experienced bombs dropping on our houses and foreign soldiers in our streets and seeing our loved ones killed and all that. We're far away from that. So the idea of war isn't as repellent to us as it might be to other people who've suffered through that. You know, we have a comfortable distance from it, you know, and until we have a war like that, you know, I think we will not have a full appreciation of peace.
We've got to make America great.
Well, we have the wrong voice representing us, and, you know, is really what that boils down to also.
Right.
And that goes back to cleaning out the big house, period. I mean, I'm not saying being destructive or doing anything, but protesting and they hear your voice. And when, you know, elections for those seats all come up, then people need to get off their ass and go out there and vote.
You know, it's a shame that poor man or poor woman can't win these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I'm sure there's a really person who's, you know, only makes maybe $30,000-$40,000 a year or maybe less, who's probably got great ideas. You know, willing to share them and, you know, do. But, you know, the system is so designed not for us to be able to run. Mm-hmm. Even when I ran, it was designed that way. I had no money.
Right.
But I ran. But it's just it's just designed. If you don't have the capital, you don't have the money, it's very difficult.
Right. And to stay true to what your values are, you know, if you come in with some fresh ideas and you want to change things, boy, by the time you get out the other end of that and get really electable, you've compromised yourself so much that
it's true. You're
you don't
right.
recognize yourself anymore, you know?
You do. You give away parts of you in order to compromise the whole and then for benefit of the whole.
Right.
And then you're really not whole. You're just a figurehead.
Yep. And you owe things to people that you're going to be paying back favors to, you know?
But I still would like to see the common person just one day just say, hey, I'm going to go knock on the door. I'm running for, you know, congressional seat, 15th district. My name is Charlie Brown, you know, and we support me. People, you'd be surprised. People do support you. Like, they like that. They like when there's a grassroots type person running.
Yeah.
Because it brings a different flavor. Do they win? Maybe not. But the point is, at least you're there. But I wish more people would get more proactive like that. You know, and I think if we did, I think most people, too many people think, I can't. I don't have enough money. I'm not smart enough. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
Well, you see what lawyers and doctors do. So, you know, you've seen what they've done to our country.
Yeah.
You've seen what they've done to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing against doctors and lawyers, but you guys are smart, but you ain't that smart, okay?
Yeah. We have enough of you.
Yeah.
You're okay now.
I want to see the construction guy, you know? I want to see the guy who works pumping gas at a BP in New Jersey, you know? And he says he's running for office, you know, and he's from India. I don't care.
Somebody
who
knows what it's like to pump your own gas or scan your own groceries, you know.
Yeah, we have too many rich people running office. You know, not everybody who's in office was rich to begin with, but you are rich when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'll trust you that. I'm out.
Yep.
Your bank account's a lot bigger.
You can't be represented by somebody who doesn't know how you live or hasn't felt your pain or your concerns, you know.
Hillary Clinton doesn't know how I feel. Donald Trump doesn't know how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders has no clue how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
People say, oh, he's not rich. No, he's very well off, okay? He's more connected because he protested, but that doesn't make him better. Just because you protested, I protested.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, how many times have we protested?
We protested, yeah.
Does that make us more connected with the people? No.
No, but it's, you know, it's
I mean, it's better than nothing. But,
yeah.
But I really would like to see the average Joe or average Jane just get out there and I'm going to do something. You know, maybe do it 10 times till you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Or just don't forget what you were doing in those 10 times, those 10 tries.
Do you think people are too discouraged by the system now that they don't believe that they can have a voice or change things? Because by the time you get to that level, you know, you've compromised so much that, you know, you have to play the game.
I can speak for myself. Yeah. I can't speak for anybody on this three-way here.
Mm-hmm.
But when I ran, there was a part of me that was like, I really don't want to do this because I could see the things that I had to do. And I hate to say, I was kind of like, and asked about it, you know, when I was in behind closed doors with the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I blamed them all for the problem. I said, you guys are all at fault because you're all the same people. You're all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You all act like it's a big deal. And you know what gerrymandering is? Of course I do.
Yes.
And, you know, the Republicans, well, you know what? You guys compromise. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You guys have no strategy. You got to have a bunch of same clowns, radicals and hippies and shirts and ties over here. And none of you can get along. And this isn't the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is, I'm not talking Republican Party because I have no clue how they work. But from my experience, sitting there and listening, and they're saying, what am I going to bring to the table? I said, what are you bringing to the table? What have you brought to the table
mm-hmm.
since you've been on this board? Since you've been, I said, you have no, you shouldn't endorse anybody in the primary season.
The primary
because it's nonpartisan. It's a nonpartisan, and the people need to make the decision. Oh, well, we've done it. Well, so that's the problem. You guys all done it, and you've manipulated the system that way by creating this fictitious person out of thin air. You know, they just kind of make you look better
yeah.
when they give you your endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
So most people go, oh, well, the party must know better. So I'm going to go with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this guy. He's Latinos from Peru. He might want to invade us or something. You know, people think like that. I've heard it all, man.
Yeah.
I've heard it all.
Yeah.
You know?
You were described as a Peruvian citizen.
I was a native of Peru.
Native of Peru.
Yes. They didn't call me a citizen.
Okay.
They call me a native of Peru running for office. Which is a true statement.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a native of Peru. I get that. But they didn't really have to put those words in there.
Right.
They could have put naturalized citizen.
Someone of Peruvian descent.
Yes. They could have said, hey, you know, this guy is running for office. They didn't have to do that. They did that on purpose.
Yeah.
That was done deliberately
mm-hmm.
because they knew they could, would disenfranchise me from a different group of people.
Right.
I knew that. As soon as I read that, yeah, they labeled me. As soon as I saw that, I was like, well, I came in second in the primary.
Yeah.
So well, I get that's
congratulations
pretty cool.
on that.
I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big feat for somebody who had no money, you know, and, you know, had very little funding. My friends who did have money and my friends who should have given and supported me, mm-hmm. they were afraid to. And they're not my friends anymore.
Yeah.
My friends who didn't have any money, they're still my friends.
Yeah.
They gave me 5, 10, 15.
Sure. Grassroots kind of thing you're talking about.
But the people who had the money to help me get, because if I had a little bit of money just to get out into the rural, urban setting
mm-hmm.
a little bit, you know, in the rural areas, could have been a different story because I won all Franklin County. That's what people, it's in the history books.
Yeah.
I'm not making this stuff up. You want to go look?
Mm-hmm.
Just look it up. It's right there.
What year was that?
That was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So look, just, it's all documented.
So you do know the political system as an insider a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, then I left the party, and then I got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same. It's a dog and pony show. It all is.
Mm-hmm.
They make deals. They'll go over here and say, well, our guy doesn't have the chance to win, so how about if we let you win this one and these different... They talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll take this. They don't say it like, we'll take this, but they're like, well, you know... And then when somebody wins out of the blue, like surprisingly, it's like a battle.
Yeah.
You told me you were going to put somebody who wasn't going to win. And then there's people who don't want to run. David and Adrian, this is true. Sometimes there's nobody to run in certain seats.
Yeah.
So they'll sit in the chambers and they'll go, who wants to run for treasurer this year? You know, and no one's like, oh, I don't want to run for treasurer, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or who wants to run for our city auditor, you know? And then somebody goes, well, let's just vote him in. And then that's how they do it.
Wow.
They just pick amongst themselves.
So that's why there's only one person on the ballot. You can't lose, right?
Yeah, well, because it's all group. If you're not in the party, if you're not part of the party, that's what's called a party.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're not in there every day and not donating and not giving money. You have a very, very hard time. I remember getting my signatures. I needed 25 signatures. That's it. Valid signatures to get me on the ballot. That's it for the
25
on the Democratic ticket to be on the
mm-hmm.
ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the convention, like our little mini convention they had, you know, so I went in there and I said, hey, I'm running for office. So I got like 300 just in case.
Yeah.
Just like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, right. The first time I ran, I got disqualified because I wrote wrong on the date and on the petition. So they looked hard to find how to disqualify me.
Yeah.
Sat there in that board and wanted to like see if I could make a difference. You know, hey, can I get over? You know, the technicality got me on technicality the first time. And my friend goes, who was my campaign manager, he goes, don't leave. I go, why? It's over. He goes, don't leave. We're going to stay here to the end. people brought in affidavits for the other candidates that were getting everybody got disqualified. And they kept looking over at me like this, like if I had left.
Yeah.
Because they were going to do a backdoor deal.
Right.
Right there.
Yeah.
And the guys like, and the Republicans were the worst. They were just like, they didn't say anything. They just kept looking to see if we had walked out of the room. And I tell you, man, he goes, you see, that's why you don't leave. That's why you never leave those things. Because if you would have left, they would have given that guy. He goes, but they can't do that. They can't make the rules for just however they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very specific. If it's not filled out properly, then you're out. But in 2006, I came back and did it much better.
Yeah.
I learned on 2004.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my little story.
Well, no, that's good. That's good. You know, not a lot of people have the experience, you know.
It was fun, actually.
Yeah.
Scared to death sometimes.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's important to be involved, but people have to feel like they've got a voice, you know, like they're, like it's worth something, you know. I'm not sure we do that anymore. I'm not sure. I know some people are real avid Hillary supporters. Some are Bernie supporters. Some are Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of us, I feel like we've got this impression like, you know, it really doesn't matter who's in because the same agenda is going to go forward. You know, the same, we're going to be told the same things only by different people. And, you know, people can say Obama did this and he did that. And he, you know, he did some good things too, you know, but there were some things that went through despite him being there or, you know, with him being there that would have gone through anyway, I'm sure. You know, it's just we have to take our government back somehow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people maybe don't know how to do that or what that's going to look like. Is that going to be a revolution that we're going to fight in the streets or is it going to be through the voting booth? Or it just seems like we're so divided and confused right now. We just, we don't know which way to turn, which way to, where to put our trust in, you know, our authority figures, we're not trusting them anymore. Even the police, you know, in a lot of ways. So where do you go? You know, there's no real outlet for that, that we can trust. It seems like, so it's a problem. It's a problem. I don't have the answer. But it's something we're going to have to find an answer to.
We need people we can trust that can make the difference.
Right.
So, you know, how do you determine if you're going to trust that person? It's by what they've done while they've been in whatever office, you know, or position that they're in before this, and what if they done to make it better? What do they really believe in? What are they fighting for? And most importantly, what money is backing them? Where does that trail lead?
Mm-hmm.
You got to do a lot of research before you're going
to. You
got to
do a lot of research.
Yep.
Right. That's right. And you've got to care. You know, you got to start by caring enough to get involved and taking yourself away from your iPhone and your Pokemon Go. You know, and you've got to set all that down and set that aside and start working, you know, maybe with other people too, to understand what's going on and really get involved in what's important to you and what kind of a country do you want to see. And you can't just, we put these people in office, but because they say things that sound good and, you know, everything, but we don't know what goes on when the doors close and, you know, in the late night meetings that they have in the House and the Senate and the back rooms, you know, and we just don't know. We need a transparent government. I don't want any more of these backdoor deals. I don't want any more of these bills that get pushed through at midnight that have all these hidden little agendas inside of them. We need to know exactly what's in there, and we need to have the right to say, we're going to pass the rest of this bill except for this crap over here that has nothing to do with it, you know, and get things really focused on some changes and some results and take the special interests out of it. And because the special interest of our congressmen and our senators and our president should be the people of the United States of America. That's their special interest, you know? So I don't know.
Right.
I'm going to run for president.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come right back and continue our political debates here.
Okay.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Back to WithInsightsRadio.com. I'm Miggy Garcia. I'm joined by David Tucros and Adriana Arts. We are talking here a little bit about, you know, what's going on in the political scene, what's going on in our lives, what's going on holistically, metaphysically, and how we can navigate these waters and how we can get through things. David went for a little break there. He went to get some water. So it's just Adriana and I. So do you want to shift the conversation a little bit, go a different direction, Adriana?
Oh, I'm okay.
Yeah. You're okay? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I'm okay. You know I don't do politics too much. We seem to do that quite a lot lately, so.
I think the reason we're doing the political thing lately is just because we're in a political cycle. We're in a political, arena at the moment, and I think it's very important. I think everybody's feeling it more than usual. I think most of the time, and I think in the past, it was kind of like, we have some really poignant questions thrown at us and some solutions that maybe we don't all agree to. You know, maybe some of us don't want a wall, maybe some of us do. I mean, it sounds as stupid as that may sound. For some people, isolationism is not a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, it's like, I'd rather be isolated than being bombarded by people I don't know. So this falls under the holistic and metaphysical realms because it's a spiritual aspect of who we are as a nation. You know, even though we have a separation of state, we're separated to some degrees. And maybe if the Islam, states, we're separated from church and government, maybe they would see things differently, but it's so intertwined. And the best way I can describe this is when the Catholic Church was in power. And when they had the final say, it kind of reminds me of the Game of Thrones episode where, the church kind of took over the monarchy, and kind of whatever they said, because they had the people in their hands.
Right.
And that's what was the key. But eventually,
became just as tyrannical as the monarchies. That's right.
And so, I don't know, maybe one day the people who worship and who believe that faith will say, hey, maybe we should separate the two. Maybe they don't need to be together. Maybe we should go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. Maybe the Christians have something. I'm reaching there now.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Maybe one day there'll be a generation that says, I don't know if this is the right way. I'm sure at some point when the Catholic Church was doing this, when Christianity was doing this, these barbaric things, because we did it too, somebody had to step up and someone had to say, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against our doctrine. It goes against everything that who we say we are. Do unto others as you want to do. Don't kill.
Mm-hmm.
Don't steal. Don't covet. All those things. Somebody had to stand up and say, it's not. We're not doing right.
We don't hear their voice in history because they were X'd out of it. But I'm sure.
But
they
did make a difference because we are where we're at now.
Right.
There was a point where somebody it's separated. Mm-hmm. Even in Europe a little bit. It's more intertwined in the culture. But in the United States, somebody said, hey, we don't, even though our founding fathers were maybe Christian-based, and Masonic-based, we still, somebody at some point said, we need to separate the two.
Yeah.
Because, not everybody, if we have freedom of religion, then not everybody believes this religion. And so it's a fine line, I think. It's a really fine line when we're sitting there and we're examining that.
Right.
Yeah.
That people lived under that for so long, they didn't want to recreate that same sort of a situation here, Most people that came over here from Europe were escaping repression and an impression of some kind, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think if your religion is strong, you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have to fear that it's going to disappear. You should be mm-hmm. able to maintain it. You know, Christianity hasn't disappeared because we separated it from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in my opinion, I think it's better. You know, I don't know why, but there's parts of me that say it's better.
Because it is separate. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know what? Because I know not everybody believes in the same God I do, even though we're supposed to be the same God, but it's not the same God.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's not. It's another version of a God, how they see it. So I'll be the first one to say it. And you know me, David. You know, the coexist symbol,
mm-hmm.
where it has all the different belief systems. I mean, I don't believe that it's all the same God. Because when you start to compare them, they're not. Some of them may look the same. Some of them may taste the same. But there's always something that separates each one, makes it twist it.
Mm.
And maybe I fall under universalist. Maybe I believe everything is just, you know, huge and one big creator or whatever. But I don't believe that all these gods are the same God.
Yeah, but we have a right to kind of make our own relationship with
oh, absolutely.
What we perceive that force to be, whether mm-hmm. we call it God, spirit, universe. You know, if we're aware of a larger consciousness, then we it's like telling me how to have a relationship with my dad, you know, because
yeah.
if, you know, if my brother told me you can only relate to dad in this way, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
I would reject that because each relationship is personal, is different, you know, and is going to look different.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think the point is with the whole coexisting is just leave everybody alone. As long as they're not harming you, you know, which is the other side of the coexist, letting mm-hmm. doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, you're not hurting anybody if you're out there in a field praying to a cow or something. Or
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
Pray to a cow. I don't care.
That's right. You know, you're
pray to the moon. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you do. Just as long as you're good to me and I'm good to you and we don't hurt each other.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
That's what it's got to come down to. And I'm not, you know, you're talking about why we're talking so political and everything. We can't exist in a vacuum in our metaphysical community. Things are happening around us. Things are happening to us, and they're happening through us.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't ignore it. We can't deny it. We have to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be the active, supportive, loving part of that whole equation, or else we're just picking a side and, you know, we're drawing a line in the sand and we're saying that you're wrong and I'm right, just like everybody else is doing right now. If you can't love a Donald Trump supporter, for example, then you're not really about love.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't see the other side of somebody who's, you know, got a different point of view, you know, and see that they're a special sacred part of that whole, you know, whatever you want to believe we're created from. You know, then you've already bought into the duality and you've already picked a side and you're already part of the problem, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm part Hillary. I reflect back and Hillary reflects back things on me, and then some things are there just to be observed, just like Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
and Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what the part that doesn't resonate with me is the part that I don't have memory or any, you know, any relationship to.
Mm-hmm.
But I get to experience it by observing it. You know, then Donald Trump or Hillary will say something that, you know, hey, yeah, I agree with that.
Kind of agree with
you know,
that. Yeah.
I don't agree with that. But you're right. You have to show love. You have to show love and compassion. And, you know, it's really easy to flip the handle and say, oh, they're racist or she's a criminal and she lied. And she probably did. I mean, who hasn't lied?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who hasn't said something pissed off about somebody or their neighbor, you know? Damn people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I've seen people do it at gas station. I've seen people do it in the stores. So
yeah.
It's not nothing. It's almost an awakening, you know, to the fact that, you know, we're able to see the blinders come off a little bit temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see America kind of how it really is versus how we want it to be.
Right.
I would like to see America, you know, where everybody loves each other. Hey, let's get behind.
Yeah, right.
But I know that that's not how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have so many people who are anti this or anti that on both sides, not just one side. You know, if you're anti Trump, then you're anti, you know, you're just anti.
Mm-hmm.
So you see it, and then you see Trump supporters and you see Bernie or Hillary, and then they're all fighting each other. And that's what I don't understand. And it's like, oh, it's because if we don't fight, we don't, then no, our voices won't be heard. And then, you know, evil will prevail. I'm like, wow, you're just giving evil more power.
Exactly.
I mean, you're just empowering evil. You're saying that evil should rule.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting more of it. You know, you're getting more of what you want. Well, we don't want Hitler, the repeat of Hitler. Wow. You know, Hitler was a very unique situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and We could have taken them out anytime we wanted. We didn't. That was our fault, you know, if you want to talk like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can't compare Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump to Hitler. That guy's a mass, you know, genocidal murderer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, Hillary and Donald have never done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hillary, that's what's in question right now. You know, her emails, her servers, Benghazi, and all the things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't judge her, you know, because I don't know anything from watching them from afar. I can't say, oh, yeah, she did it. I know she did it. You don't know squat, dude. You don't know nothing.
Right. You know what you're told or what you think.
Everything you know about what's going on about both candidates or three candidates, whatever candidate, has been fed to you by either a friend, a family, or the news,
mm-hmm.
you know, or your filter system in your brain.
Right. Right.
And we filter.
Because you've got an agenda or some opinion that you want to support about.
I don't like her because she's a woman. I don't like him because he's got red hair. And he looks like, what is it? Willy Wonka's one of his Oompa Loompas.
I don't know. Oompa Loompa would be nice to have president. You know,
yeah.
They got their stuff down.
He's the new orange.
Revamping everything. We need to revamp the media, too. And he has control over all of that.
Exactly.
You know, media should be allowed to have more independence out there, you know, running news coverage and, you know, more on the, even your local level, you know. The media definitely needs revamped as far as all of them tell you practically the same message.
Exactly. That's
what you turn on. And that message isn't anything like what you see from someone's cell phone that's there at this event. You see a whole other side, but that stuff gets, you know, banned and blocked and took down. And that's not right. You know?
Nope, that's not right.
The media has way too much control as far as what we're fed. And that is exactly why we're all at war with the labels and the racism and everything that's going on. And the media just keeps it all stirred. You know, how many times do you turn on the news and you actually see something good? You get maybe a 2 or 3 second spot at the end of the evening where they show a little glimpse of, you know, some happiness.
Right.
There's
happiness the duck.
Out in the world. I mean, you know, if you turn your TV off and you go out in the world, you can see people that are being kind to other people. You can see people helping and giving to the homeless and doing those things. But, you know, the news doesn't cover people helping people. They cover people killing people. And that's what's pumped in our heads from the time that, you know, you're sitting in front of the television because mommy wants to keep you entertained for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe
so. She pops your butt down there and she turns it on. Look at your cartoons. They're nothing but violence.
You know, that's funny you said that, yeah.
There's nothing but violence. I mean, how often do you have a video game that you don't have to have a weapon of some sort, you know, and do away with the enemy? Everything needs revamped as far as what we're fed, what we're taking in visually that's going into our brain at a very young age.
That's a fantastic point because I'm going to give a plug to my brother's restaurant, Jack and Benny's.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the OSU airport. And on High Street, Hudson and High, and Broaden High.
Yes.
So if you want breakfast at Jack and Benny's all day until 3, go to Jack and Benny's.
Great prices, good food.
And yeah, I went to Jack and Benny's a couple weeks ago, and I was there, and I was sitting there waiting for a table, and there was a table of 9 waiting for a table 2, and they were a little anxious and stuff. And they had the Cartoon Network on, and they had the Teen Titans on.
Okay.
So you know what a Titan is to begin with. So they're Teen Titans. And, you know, they're going through their struggles and fighting and arguing and, and punching and kicking, whatever they do. And there's this Latin guy, Latino guy with his family. He's married into a white family. And the little boy and the dad's like pulled him away from the TV. Don't watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to talk to his wife outside and he told the grandmother, don't let him watch the TV. I don't want him to watch that. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, and I sat there and I thought, that's interesting. I'm thinking, is he overreacting? I was thinking to myself, I was actually like, or maybe he has a point. You know, maybe these little kids can't distinguish, you know, not necessarily reality from truth or whatever, but maybe it's a programming. You know, I was thinking that's a program. I was thinking, well, that's interesting because, you know, but it was interesting to watch. It's mm-hmm. his child. He can parent his child however he wants. You know, there was no place for me to say anything. I wasn't going to say anything, but
right.
It was just neat to experience that moment in time.
And see it through his eyes.
Mm-hmm. So when Adriana said that, it reminded me of that. And he was just, like, very adamant, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, if his son watched that, or the two boys he had, they were just, what, six or seven, eight, or something like that, real young.
Yeah.
And he just, like, pulled him away. I mean, like, he pulled him away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was watching the two adult men who were waiting for table two, and they were just, like, fixated on the TV. Like, they, you know, they, their name got called, and they wouldn't even move. They were just, like, locked in, like, zeroed in on the TV.
Wow. Yeah.
Of course, I was zeroed in on my phone.
Yeah. That really is true. You know, I remember when Nickelodeon first came out, they had these shows on that were like, the parents were portrayed as stupid and the teachers were disrespected. And it was, you know, it was done in a funny way that, you know, oh, this is the kids' network. So, of course, we're going to portray people like this. But it sends a message, you know. It sends a message not to show respect to your parents and not to show respect to your teachers, you know. And I'm all, you know, I'm kind of all for rebellion in a way, you know, because I don't want to be told what to do all the time. And but there's a place for having that too, you know, for showing proper respect for people who care for you and are supposed to. You can always question what they say, but you shouldn't just say they're stupid anyway, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
So. You know, I, it is true that I think that a lot of what we are shown through the media, through these examples and these sitcoms and things like that, is there to shape us into whatever we're supposed to be shaped into. William Randolph Hearst was one of the first newspaper, you know, giants and media giants, and he bought up every media outlet he could, and he promoted the people that he wanted to see in office. He started using the media as a tool for control and for manipulation of public opinion rather than showing what's really happening mm-hmm. in the world. And it's just gone on from there, you know. The more powerful television came along, you know, and images are more powerful than words to us. So these images that were shown and the words that are spoken over the images even are all part of, programming of sorts, you know, neuro-linguistic programming where we're told things long enough. I'll give you a real recent example of it. With the shootings in Dallas, the police shootings, when the media first came out, it was like, oh, we've got multiple shooters triangulating people from different parking areas, you know.
I remember that.
We've got four suspects in custody, and now we've got one dead, and then they released those three other suspects, and you didn't hear anything else about. All you heard from there was lone gunman, Dallas, lone gunman, you know, and we've heard those words before, you know, but there was a lone gunman in Dallas, you know, and so we hear that long enough and we just forget all about those other three people that were captured and the fact that they said that there was people triangulating in on the cops, you know, so who really knows what happened there? We only know what the story that they want to tell us. So,
okay.
It is that.
It's true.
You know, and that's where we come into reality versus the matrix, you know, the projection of reality that we're shown. So I guess we kind of get a little back into the spiritual because that where our intuition has to come in. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't, you know. And as much as they try to show us the world that they want us to see, we have to look deeper into that and go, you know, this doesn't feel right. This just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I get a lot of those.
Yeah, so...
Now, something I want to share with you guys.
Okay.
And it's kind of, it may sound kind of off topic, but The Simpsons. You know, The Simpsons are kind of an interesting show. And you know how we have visionaries and prophets, people and seers who can see into the future
mm-hmm.
and maybe don't even realize they're doing it. Or maybe, you know, life is just imitating art, you know, but I don't know if you guys know about this Pokemon app that's been out.
The Pokemon Go. Where you have your phone and you can see Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon, you can go find them and go get them. Well, my friend, he downloaded the app just for fun because he saw what's been going on in the news. And one of the Pokemons were in his house. But see, you got to understand it. And these apps, according to what he was saying, is discloses your home, like where you're at. So like if there's a Pokemon in your house, then it shows where your house is.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was these guys using the Pokemon app to lure people and rob them.
Wow.
And so I'm looking at Facebook, and it said another prediction by The Simpsons is they have an episode where they had a Pokemon app with their cell phones before this app was invented.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I'm thinking,
that's scary. Who's thinking these things up?
Well, it makes me wonder, you know, there is a collective, you know, you flow into this collective mind, and I'm not sure. I think some people are just a little more in tuned in flowing into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all flow in it, but I don't think some of us don't take it serious. Like, you know, it's like going down a canoe. Sometimes you're just the guy without the paddle and someone else is paddling. So they have kind of control where things are going to go and how they're going to, where you're going to end up or if we're going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of just looking around going, yeah, it's a nice tree.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But oh, watch out for the rapid.
They wanted you to see that tree, you know? So
I'm wondering, you know, if the makers of The Simpsons or the guy who, what's his name? I forget his name. It slips my mind right now. But I'm just wondering, you know, kind of like H.G. Wells was kind of like a prophet of sorts. He could see the future and predict certain things. I think these guys do too. Somehow.
Could be. You know, an artistic mind is a little more brained, a little more. I mean, right-brained, a little more connected to the intuitive and the mass subconscious. I've seen several examples of that, especially with Donald Trump. They actually predicted Donald Trump running for president.
Yeah, they had a picture exactly of him going down an escalator.
Yeah,
and the sign. Everything happened. Was exactly every detail was just the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that floored me. That blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, really?
Well, here's something. For if you're not aware of a new little series that has started, it actually airs tonight, I think, on Channel 10, and it's called Brain Dead. And this is like the third week, and that show is a trip because when you turn it on, it's showing Hillary and Donald and the debate on TV.
Oh, wow.
You know, through the series. But it's showing current things, and in this series, to get you caught up to, this will be, I think, like I said, must be the first, second, I think it's the third one. There's a mind control, there's a bug that gets into people's heads, literally crawls in through their ears and stuff, and gets into their heads, and some people... the politicians in representatives in this show, some of them have this bug and are being controlled as far as what they're going to vote or who they're going to be with, basically. You kind of get the gist. And then other people, these bugs go in and their heads explode. So I'm thinking those, you know, are the people that can't be controlled by this thing or... they're eliminating people that could be a problem for the control. So if you haven't tuned into this series, I'm really interested to see what this series is really projecting.
Yeah, interesting.
There's a behind the scenes thing going on here. I'm not quite sure what it is. That's why the first night I watched it, I sent out on our group text and I said, Mark, are you watching this? If Mark isn't watching that series, I would be surprised. Because I put a bug in his ear.
Was he watching?
Have you seen it, David?
put a bug in his ear. No. No, I haven't, but I do wear earplugs when I sleep, and I think that keeps me from being taken over by those brain-eating bugs. But, yeah. No, I'm going to have to check it out. I'll set my DVR up to record.
Or noisy drummers.
When is it?
It's called Brain Dead.
It's at 10, I think.
It should be on, I think, Channel 10.
Okay.
Is that tonight?
It's tonight. It's on Monday nights, and they're airing it like at 10 p.m. now. So.
Oh, cool. Put your kids to sleep.
You know what I've been watching lately is not quite so serious. It's a spoof of Lost called Wrecked.
Oh, I heard about that. Is it good?
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny. But, yeah, that's just my guilty pleasure there. But yeah, so yeah, I'll have to check that out. You know, it's almost like they're showing us the same, they're showing us the things that they're doing, and so we have to kind of buy into it. I don't know. There's an interesting theory that Mark has about that, kind of like a vampire can't be invited into your house without being welcomed in, you know?
Yeah,
can't come in without being invited. So maybe the things that they're wanting to achieve, when I say they, I mean like, you know, the conspiracy theorists, global elite people, without us agreeing to it somehow or being exposed to it somehow in our on our unconscious level. And then, okay, so that's, we actually help them create that reality in a way.
Weirdness.
I think if we knew what was really going on, we would be so outraged and so just taken aback that we couldn't believe we'd been so deceived for so long, you know? You've had the cure for cancer for 20 years. You've no one causes that, and you've made me pay all this money.
Nobody can afford
time.
It.
Yeah, the cure right. for the cure.
They let people die.
Yeah, let people die. You mean we had these wars where my children were killed and it was for nothing, you know, it was to make you rich.
Yeah.
You know, I think when that truth comes out, there's going to be a lot of angry people. And I think it will come out one of these days, you know, maybe too late. Maybe we'll be too involved in it for that. But I like to think that we will have a chance to address that, you know, and I think we'll have to be there to kind of go, don't kill these people. Don't kill them. We can make them, you know, known for what they are, but hold off, you know, because there's going to be a lot of angry folks. And that's why I think that they're so scared of what could happen when we find that out. That's why they've got their military surrounding.
The French Revolution, man.
You know? Yeah. When we find out everything that's been going on for the past 50 years, you know, that we thought we knew about, but we didn't. Anyway, yes.
Let's take a quick break.
Let's do that.
And let's come back. We're at the top of the hour. We hope you're enjoying the show.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com with your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, and Adriana Arts. Now back to the show. You're listening to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome back. We hope you're enjoying the show. Let's take a caller. Let's see where they're at. Let's see. I know there's been a couple of callers on here, and I think they've been listening, so maybe they have something to share, something to give here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You've been listening. Anything you want to add to our discussion?
What was that? Sorry.
Hi.
I was multitasking.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Hey.
That's okay. Yeah, you've been listening to the show. Is there anything you want to add or talk about, or how are you?
It was pretty interesting that you're talking about government because my major is actually in law, and I'm currently interning at the governor's office, and it's really interesting how you say that you don't really accomplish much, and it's true, like you don't really know what they're really doing. Like we get, you know, free laptops, we get phones, and we don't really need them, you know, when taxes are paying for them, so... Yeah, I kind of see what you were saying.
I'm glad you're involved in that, too, because, you know, I think people need to be involved in trying to see the government from the inside out. You know, we see it from the outside in so many times that we don't trust it, you know. But the only way you're going to change something is to be a part of it, is to be connected to it and to try to make an influence in it. So I appreciate your involvement, your enthusiasm, and you're wanting to take it to some – different level, you know, and anything else, any kind of insights that you've had or any kind of interactions that you've had with people in government that you'd like to share?
No, I think everyone's very, at least the people that I've met, they're very like nice and kind, but I also think that, not a lot of action really. That's why I'm involved, and I kind of wanted to learn firsthand, especially like in the government in my hometown. I don't know, like it's just so bad, and the fact that people don't go to the council meetings, like nobody would be at the meeting, so I mean in their eyes everything's fine. I was just wondering if I can get like a popcorn reading. Is that something you offer?
Absolutely.
We can give you a potato chip reading too if you want.
Okay. Well, while we're kind of getting ready here, is it just a general one? You don't have a particular subject in mind?
No, just a general is fun.
Okay.
I actually, I have my lease is up in August 31st, and because I don't want to be homeless, I started looking, and I'm going to go take a look at a place tomorrow. It's super close to campus, so I really like that. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see what the cards tell us.
What's your name?
Erica.
Erica. Okay.
Okay, Erica.
I should have been anonymous just in case.
That's okay.
Listening.
We're listening.
They know where you are already, so. Anyway,
you can change your name. My name is Erico. Okay.
Okay, so, you know, I drew a card for you. It's the Buffalo card, which is really a good card, actually. It's you are provided for in all ways. It's about abundance. You need never go hungry. You will always have plenty of physical and emotional sustenance and, just as important, spiritual nourishment. To sustain this state of abundance, it's important to remain appreciative of all you do have and consistently express your gratitude to Great Spirit as the source of your supplies. Have faith in this fact rather than getting caught up in beliefs of lack and limitation. In fact, you will always have more than enough, so give away your surplus willingly and enthusiastically. Whenever you do give something away, do so out of love from your heart rather than from a sense of martyrdom or to gain another's approval. Nature gives unabashedly and generously unto life and unto death. Let that part of your nature be the fount from which your giving generates. In this way, you will experience a deep satisfaction and heartfelt sense of connectedness to others in your family and community, and quite naturally feel immensely grateful for all that life gives you. So it's telling me that you are watched over, for one thing. You have spiritual guides, guardians, people here in this world and in the other worlds that are focused on you and want you to have the best. You know, you may struggle sometimes, but those struggles will never be for nothing, or you'll always have an outcome from those struggles that will make you stronger and give you even more of what you were looking for. So it's, as I say, the Buffalo is a good card. It's about provision. It's about abundance, and it's about being watched over. So I think that you have every support system that you need right now.
Yeah. I actually pulled a card for her, too. I pulled the Dove card. It's about serenity, slowing down, pause, and breathe. I feel like there's a sense of... I know you're, like, moving and stuff, but I feel like there's a sense of... like, there's a lot going on, you know, in your life, and the Dove's just telling you, like, hey, you know what? You need to just chill a little bit, sit on this pier and take a little vacation for a moment. I know you're going through a lot, and I'm feeling... you don't sound stressed out, but I feel like you're stressed out for some reason. I feel like emotionally there's some things that are going on that you just need clarification for. Spirit's kind of saying just don't jump too fast. Just take it easy and slow and just, you know, look at your options. I know this apartment's important to you, but there's some changes coming your way that you probably aren't aware of, and some things are really... but they're not necessarily they're not necessarily bad things, but they're just changes. And you know, a change for me is much different than a change for you. It may be a position, it may be somebody coming into your life, somebody you haven't seen in a while, but it's a change. And you know, you always hear the old mantra, you know, change is good. If you want to be a change, then make the changes that, you know, in yourself. But the white also means purity. It means cleansing and releasing. And Spirit's kind of saying, hey, maybe it's time to release some things that you've been holding on to and re-cleanse yourself. The best way to do this is through water ceremonies or some kind of clearing with sage. And, you know, and just setting some affirmations and some prayers of how you want to see the next 6 months go. You're going to have some changes coming here in the next 6 months, something that's going to be really cool. It's going to be a little challenging, but it's going to be really cool when it's all said and done.
Be like a surprise.
Yeah, it's kind of a surprise, yeah. That's kind of what I'm picking up, because I'm looking at the Dove, and the Dove is, you know, there's green, and they're standing, and it's on a pier. There's some, has something to do with water. That's all I can see, but maybe Adriana has a better...
Yeah.
I have a general read from the look of things. I see... there's a good chance that this would be in a law firm as attorneys, but I see a surprise coming your way, whether it is an offer of making a not a large amount of money, but it could be an offer for you to do something for this firm. I think this is an attorney's firm, and both of the attorneys are men. Both of them are, one is really light in hair and skin and eye color. The other one is kind of medium to light. Both of them are definitely older men. I would say in their 50s, easy. Is maybe a little older. But it looks like there is an offer of some sort from this firm, and it's a chance to make a little bit of money or, you know, maybe lead into something even more. I also have a surprise gift. It looks like it's coming your way. And this gift is either... It could be a loan, even, but it involves a larger sum of money, and I see this coming or being presented to you around this time. There is also news of news or a proposal of marriage, and it is around a young man who is a brunette. His eyes are probably hazel or green. But he's a young man, and there is news of a marriage or a wedding proposal around this man. Your High Hopes and Dreams card comes up, and it is it's something that you're really aspiring to achieve, whether it's in your work or where you live and moving. It has to do with all of this. This dream that you have, it's your high hopes. Your card shows, and it is attainable. It also comes through the help of a younger, very dark-haired, dark-eyed, and darker-skinned man. He has something to do with bringing your high hopes and dreams about, whatever he approaches you with. However, there are, and you can expect some delays and a little bit of a disappointment associated with this becoming a reality. So I would suggest that you look at the opportunities that are getting ready to come and be presented to you, and just look at everything, because you have the head on your shoulders to make this work, and you will overcome these. They're going to be small things that'll happen. They'll come up unexpectedly, and it will be feel like such a big disappointment to you, but it's not a big disappointment. You will get through this, and you'll figure out how to hop that hurdle. You've got it in you to do that. So that's what I have for you.
From the attorney stuff that you were saying, recently a drunk driver T-boned me, and I think it might be like offers me like a settlement over that. But it's more like insurance, so maybe not. I don't know. They T-boned on my car, so the insurance guy wants to appraise it and stuff, but I'm also dealing with attorneys and things like that. But it was so funny how previously you got the, or he got the stuff card or something, and this weekend I went to the park and I just was feeding ducks, you know, like bread, and just playfully I kicked one of them, not hard or anything, just like kind of playfully, and it started, like, I'm pretty sure he started cussing at me all his way to like the pond. It was so funny, and I was just thinking about that, like, oh, you got this duck, and, like, this weekend I was at the park where they have a ton of ducks, and I don't know, it was just really hilarious. but, yeah, it didn't hurt, and I hope he doesn't remember me.
Just be careful when you're walking through the park.
He'll be waiting for you.
Aerial bombing.
That all sounds really good. I hope you get some encouragement and excitement out of what we're telling you tonight, because that's coming from not us. It's coming from spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
All right.
I
well, thanks for calling.
I'm just not looking forward to the disappointment part.
Yeah.
They don't last long.
We have them. Yeah.
It won't last long, and you will get over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of some insight for you to expect it, and when it happens, just you'll be ready for it, and you won't react normally. You will have it under control.
So. Do you know what it was in regards to? Is it about the accident or is it like me not getting this internship I'm hoping to apply for? Like, what is the disappointment? No, it's
going to be something on the everyday life level. It'll just be something unexpected and kind of just going to delay you a little bit, and you'll be just disappointed because it's going to delay something happening, something coming through. You will make it through there.
Okay, thank you, though.
You're welcome.
Sure.
You have a nice evening, okay?
Thank you.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I like when we draw different cards and have different readings, but it's giving the same...
Yeah, they kind of give a different... You know, they all line up to that.
Yeah.
That moment, yeah. It's pretty cool. All right, let's go to another caller here.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's with us?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and a wonderful show. I think it's so great that you have this forum to really discuss the issues and get people thinking.
Well, thank you.
Awesome.
Do you have something you'd like to share, or like a reading or something?
If I could have a reading, I have a question. About two gentlemen, about which of them might come through on a project I'm working on?
Okay.
The short guy.
He's always the short guy, right?
Maybe.
They try harder. Okay, all right. I'm not ready yet, so somebody else can go first.
Well, it's not going to be the very blonde-haired guy with blue eyes. It's not going to be him.
Okay.
He does something kind of drastic that causes a business worry. It's not him.
Okay.
All right, I pulled a card for you. It's kind of interesting that I pulled this card. I pulled a turtle card, but this isn't just any kind of turtle. This is actually a sea turtle, and it's about retreat. Stop trying to make something happen. Okay, so if you know anything about the sea turtle, in the water, it's majestically can just navigate and flow and just be, you know, itself. But when it's outside the water, it's very, cumbersome, you know, it can't move as fast. It really, it's not its natural habitat. Okay, so I think what I'm feeling here, the spirit is saying, is finding your natural habitat, finding your natural flow in this situation to, let those, flippers, in the water. When you're in your element, you do really well. But when you're trying to push outside of your element a little bit, this is why it's important to find the right teammate. And I get that. I understand that. But I think just to retreat and focus and realign yourself and say, hey, I'm going to look at this from this angle versus this angle. And, and then sometimes as human beings, we try to make things work out to our advantage and we can't. I think just being slow and steady sometimes as well. I know the project probably, demands that some things have speed. But within that speed and that push, you still have flow. You can still slow down. And so the water is about fluidity and being in the flow and being in it. Play out, listen. It's important to listen to both sides and what's going to happen, what they're going to do. Both team members have ideas that will resonate with you and some of them won't. you're going to come to a point where you're going to have to make a decision and say, okay, well, this is the place I want to be. I would rather be flowing here than here. You're going to flow either way. But if you make, when you make this decision, stick with it and let it play itself out instead of saying, well, don't go into panic mode. Oh, well, it's not working the way I wanted. Communication is huge, very important. And talking, and just make sure you know you're both on the same page, or the team's on the same page, and be ready to be flexible to change and adjust. And I think that's what the sea turtle is talking about, just being flexible and adjusting. Sometimes you're going to be out of water, sometimes you're going to be in the water. You know, especially in business, and any type of you know, business, anything that deals with other people's interests or money, you have to be able to be flexible, be able to change. And that's kind of where the read stops for me.
Right.
Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
So I've got two cards that I pulled. One, the first one was the Lynx, and that's discernment. It's about looking beyond immediate appearances, kind of using your intuition, kind of using, you know, a little bit of just how things feel, you know, not just looking at how things look, kind of go deeper than that and use some discernment. And then the next one is the Antelope, which is decisiveness. You know, make a decision and take appropriate action. So once you've used that discernment to see to the core of the issue or the core of the relationship there, be decisive about it. You know, say, okay, I know what the right thing to do is, and I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to be dissuaded or discouraged or, you know, taken away from that course because I know it's the right one. So it looks like there's some influences pointing you towards, you know, seeing clearly and then also moving decisively. So hopefully that helps.
Thank you. Yes. Well, yeah, this is great. It's very informative and pretty clear.
Good.
You know, that's really great. Thank you. Thank you all.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just part of life. Sometimes we have to... We're going to get decisions placed before us. And, you know, sometimes they both look good.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to go, well, they both look good, but which one should I go?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of like the fork in the roads. No matter which one you take, you're going to have to do the work in that fork.
Yeah.
That side of the fork, whatever you do.
Sure.
If you go that way or this way, you're still going to have to do the work.
Yeah. We can't go back in time. You know, I know people who, they second guess every decision they've made and they think they can't make the right decision because they've made bad choices in the past. And so they just kind of freeze whenever they come to that situation where you have to make a choice. You have to choose A or B. You can't just sit there. And, you take a turn and you deal with whatever's down that turn. Maybe it wasn't, looking back on it, maybe you would have made a different choice, but you can't do that. You have to deal with that. And then that fork and that road will come, and then on and on and on. You can improve your situation over time, but only if you make mistakes, only if you take those wrong turns. You know, that's when you'll know the difference between something that is right and something that's wrong. So I highly recommend making mistakes in life.
Yeah, and be glad it's not a spork in the road.
That's right. Wow.
You're listening to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Well, we hope you've been enjoying our show tonight.
Because,
I mean, we have blasts on here. And sometimes we get really mushy and emotional. I think today we were to the point kind of where we needed to be.
Yeah.
And share thoughts. You can always look us up at withinsightsradio.com, iggygarcia.com, david2crows.com. We're on Facebook. Just look us up. There aren't too many guys named David Two Crows or Iggy Garcia.
No,
so
there's a few.
There's an Adriana Arts there too. So
yeah, we like talking with you. We like talking to you. You know, sometimes it seems like we're all involved in this serious stuff, but we have our goofy sides. We try to bring some humor to it, just because we're human. You know, and the situation, can seem grim or anything, but I really do believe there's always hope.
Always hope. And you know, when you're down and you're not feeling good, you got to find that song that just gets you in the mood, you know, kind of gets you going. That's important. You got to always have that little theme song.
Your uplifting theme song. Right?
And I use this one. I love this one. You know, when I'm not feeling good, you know, I'm just like,
that.
Hey, Mom, the lollipop kid. We wish to welcome you to Munchkinland.
And how can you not feel good when you think about those little guys with their lollipops dancing around in their little shoes and
yeah.
little, you know. They wanted to show Dorothy some props, some honors,
sure.
you know, and welcome her to Munchkin Land, you know.
But they're just like us. Mm-hmm. This is why I like this song. They're just like us. We show strength,
mm-hmm.
and we show courage, and we show our playfulness. But then when fear creeps in, or when you know the witch shows up,
mm-hmm.
we run,
right,
and we hide, and
we
then
forget all about our power.
Yeah, we regroup somehow, maybe
yeah.
hopefully. But you're right. We forget about our power. We let go.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, my God.
If they
it's
had
the
all,
witch.
They run at her, and, you know, they could have.
They could have stuck her with lollipops.
Yeah, yeah. Throw a house on you now. Come on.
Yeah. Little did they know, if they would have just thrown water on or spit it on her, they
yeah.
might have,
you
know.
There you go. See?
There are a lot of munchkins, you know.
Right. And that's the way it is with our fears sometimes. They're so easily banished, but we give them power. You know, we put them on those thrones or in those castles, you know, and,
yeah.
and we live in fear of them all our life. So you don't have time for that. I'm
mm-hmm.
telling you right now, life is too short. You don't have time to be afraid. You don't have time to be disempowered. You don't
mm-hmm.
have time to live under somebody else's thumb, you know, kick them out or kick yourself out, you know, get out of that situation. It may be a job. It could
yeah.
be a person. It could
mm-hmm.
be your parents. It could be your siblings. It could be, you know, just the way you've treated yourself all your life. You are special. You are a shining star,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have time for this. And we need you in the game, in life right now. So
aren't you the same person that was wondering where the red brick road went?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole story behind that. I'm sure, you know, where's that red brick road go?
Adriana?
There's an adventure for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Adriana, I think, what do you want to leave us with?
You know, it is what you make it. So make it good. Peace and love.
Mhm. Mhm.
Awesome.
When life gives you lemonades, throw them away, because who can do these? You know.
Yeah, make margaritas.
Yeah.
I don't know. Make lemonade. Limonade. I wish life would throw limes at me. Why is it always going to be lemons?
I know. You can do more with limes.
Well, a tribute to the people that I love in my life, I'm going to play this song and we're going to
okay.
say goodnight.
Okay.
And I hope you guys
in life,
enjoy
you
life.
Turn people to touch your heart.
Yeah.
And
you
thanks,
Andrew. Love your thing.
Best friends and me, we're gonna run away.
Evening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Much love.
Peace out.